Thank you for listening to this Podcast One Sportsnet production, available on Apple Podcasts and Podcast One.
The following program is a PodcastOne.com production.
He started in a small town in Texas. Worked his ass off to become one of the most famous wrestlers of all time.
We're gonna take care of business tonight, and that's the bottom line.
And now, he's dominating the world of on-demand audio.
And he's doing it for the working man.
This is a damn good outlet for me to spew the bullshit off my brain.
Yeah!
This is the Steve Austin Show. Unleashed.
All right, everybody, welcome to the Steve Austin Show. I am coming to you from the Broken Skull Challenge compound out here in Agua Dulce, California, where we are filming Steve Austin's Broken Skull Challenge, the toughest show on television for CMT. We're looking to air this thing around November 14th. It's going to be really badass. The athletes out here have been totally kicking ass. I've been out here 3 days. It's taken us a while to get into a groove, but I think we've found our groove. There's been some epic performances out here. Hey, as most of you guys know that listen to the podcast, when I'm filming out here, I stay on the set so I can avoid the drive back and forth to Los Angeles and get my work done, take care of the podcast, and get my workouts in. So, man, I'm trying the best I can on the podcast. It looks like I'm going to be talking to Wade Keller this weekend for the Tuesday show, and I'll come up with a Thursday show on the fly sometime this weekend. I appreciate all the feedback that I got from you guys regarding the Pat Patterson interview and his book Accepted. A lot of feedback on that. So if you have that feedback, send it to questions@steveaustinshow.com. And I also appreciate all the feedback on my conversation with the WWE NXT Tag Team Champs, the top guys, the Revival, Dash and Dawson. Had a really good time talking to those guys, and I was actually able to see them during that conversation because we were on video, and that's the podcast where I had to turn my iPhone into a hotspot. It was technical difficulties out the ass, but we got it done, and I had a good time talking to those two guys, and a lot of positive feedback on that podcast. I'll tell you what, man, when you hear today's podcast, it was recorded last night, Tuesday night. Today, as I record this open, it is Wednesday. I recorded that podcast at about almost 9 o'clock p.m. my time. By the time we finished, I was talking to Ted Fowler. We answered some questions and just shot the breeze. By the time we finished, it was about 1 o'clock in the morning his time. It was about 11 o'clock at night my time. And it was a long day. So when you listen to this podcast, we start off doing a sound check, because when I started talking to Ted, he sounded really, really loud. I couldn't understand why I couldn't turn his mic down. Turns out all I had to do was turn down the volume on my computer, which was feeding my headphones. So you're going to start this conversation off as you hear us talking about a sound check, trying to get lined out, as we had been working on it for about 5 minutes. And we had started and stopped a couple of times. You're going to hear a story about my left elbow. I woke up Tuesday morning, started to work out, and had this big goose egg on my left elbow, and it was gigantic. I'll post a picture on my Twitter account when this podcast comes out. And you'll hear the story about the doctor coming to my trailer. He was going to drain my elbow. We never got around to that, but that's what we're talking about when you hear Ted and I talking on the podcast. I didn't know what the fuck was wrong with my left elbow, but it was unsightly, and I'll post a picture for you guys to see if you're interested in anything like that. I also got some questions on my email asking me, Steve, do you not do opens anymore on your podcast? And yes, I still do opens on the podcast. It's when I'm talking to a guest and the interviews run longer than an hour, but they're not long enough to make into a two-parter. That's when I just negate or don't do the open. I go right into the podcast or the interview, and then I do a wrap-up, and then we go home. So I'm still always doing my opens, but if it's a long interview, that is the reason. And I'll tell you what, just being out here at the Broken Skull Challenge with so many things going off, my electricity getting shut off here at the camper that I live in several times with blowing fuses, this fluid in my arm, all kinds of stuff. So it's been a lot of headaches, hassles, and horse shit, but I think we've fallen into a groove. Appreciate you guys bearing with me when I get into production, because I tell you what, I get up early every single morning and go do the challenges and stuff like that, and I'm out in the sun all day. And by the time I get back, I'm pretty much wiped out. So thank you for bearing with me. I look forward. I got a couple of badass guests lined up on the podcast. I won't drop any names, because when they fall through the cracks, then I've dropped a name that I can't live up to. But I got some great people coming up, and I think you guys are going to enjoy those shows. I don't think I got anything else to talk about. I just want to cover the backstory, give you a little foresight about that elbow story you're going to hear on the podcast. It's me and Ted getting settled in and shooting the shit and taking some questions, you guys. But anyway, like I said, Teddy Fowler's checking in from Rockport, Texas. We're going to talk to Teddy after I tell you how you can get your hands on some pretty exclusive WWE merchandise. Sign up for Loot Crate's new WWE Slam Crate. It's a bi-monthly mystery subscription service for fans of the WWE Universe. And this first Loot Crate in the series is the founder's theme, which celebrates some of the first in WWE history. And because I'm tight with the Loot Crate team, they're letting me reveal a couple of items in the first box. It's got the first card from Austin Aries, and a few of the Loot Crates will have autographed versions of that very card. You'll also get a shirt back from the grave and accessories from a very special First Lady of Wrestling. This is an exclusive Superstar Collectibles line created just for the WWE Slam Crate. You can't get this stuff anywhere else, people. And for less than $30, you get over $60 in merchandise in every crate. I'm talking licensed gear, apparel, collectibles, unique one-of-a-kind items, and a lot more. And I'm going to do you one better. I'm going to give three lucky winners a free three-month subscription to the WWE Slam Crate. And I'm going to give one really lucky person a six-month subscription for free. So tell me, are you feeling lucky? Well, all you got to do for your shot to win is tweet at Podcast1 and at Loot Crate, say, I want the WWE Slam Crate. Use the hashtag Steve Austin. Winners will be chosen at random from all entries received. So tweet Podcast1 and Loot Crate and use the hashtag Steve Austin. And hey, if you ain't one of those lucky winners, Loot Crate is still offering you this great deal. You can save $3 off your new subscription. All you have to do is go to lootcrate.com/Austin and use the promo code Austin. That's Loot Crate, LOOTCrate.com/Austin, and use my promo code Austin to get $3 off any new subscription. Don't wait. There are limited quantities of the Founder's Crate, and once they're gone, they're gone. So get the best in WWE swag and save $3 in the process. Go to lootcrate.com/Austin to enter my promo code Austin. Hey, gang, I'm sorry for the raspy voice. I've been yelling hard for 3 days.
On the Big Podcast with Shaq, we're always hanging out with big-time celebrities, like our buddy Stephen A. Smith.
Stephen A., it's not the same without Skip Bayless.
I'm pretty much the patriarch of the show right now, and Stephen A. Smith has been preoccupying that chair for 3 years.
I love how you talk about yourself in the third person.
What is that move?
And next week, we celebrate Shaq's Hall of Fame induction with Dr. J. And of course, you'll always catch guys like Jimmy Kimmel, Snoop Dogg, Jimmy Fallon, Will Ferrell, Ben Stiller, Russell Simmons, Anna Faris, Chris Pratt. Not to mention every huge name from the NBA, like Steph Curry, Draymond Green, DeAndre Jordan, Pat Riley, Luke Walton, NBA Commissioner Adam Silver. You get the idea.
Listen to the Big Podcast with Shaq with the new episode every Monday at podcast1.com.
Steve Austin, Unleashed.
Unleashed.
Do that one more time, Teddy.
Radio check, 1, 2, test, test, test. Dude, my volume is all the way down. I am 15 inches away from the microphone.
You're coming in so loud and clear. All I did was just turn the volume down on my headset, and it sounded a lot better. Does this motherfucker sound so goddamn loud? Well, I had my computer turned up full blast with my headsets damn near touching my goddamn eardrum.
This is like he's right next to me.
Son of a bitch. I feel like we're sitting in a pop-up deer blind together. A little too close for comfort, and you're 1,800 miles away.
Hey, dude, would you mind putting some lotion on my back?
Dude, I know we'll always be friends, but we won't be that good of friends. God damn it, Teddy. You talk about a hellacious fucking day I've had. Oh, man. We just started filming Broken Skull Challenge on Monday. Today's Tuesday. It's actually Tuesday night. It's 9:30 p.m. Where Teddy's at, it's 11:30 p.m. I got to give a shout-out and a thank you to Ted Fowler 361 on Twitter and Instagram for helping my ass out on his podcast. Boy, I appreciate you staying up late, Teddy. Here's what happened. We're on day two filming Broken Skull Challenge. It airs probably November 14th on CMT. Around deer season, football season. I'll be down there in South Texas watching it. I got up this morning to work out. I got up about 4:45 and started drinking coffee. You know, Teddy, I don't sleep worth a shit to begin with. And if you don't work out, you know, when you get up in the morning before you start production, motherfucker, we're trying to get the kinks worked out. It's been a year since we've been in production, so it's kind of like a little bit of ring rust. And, you know, the first day, kind of like sometimes first day on a construction job, till you get everybody lined out of what they're doing or what the process is, you got to get into a rhythm. So after 2 days of, you know, trying to slug through a little bit of clunks here and there, I think we're in a groove. I got up this morning to work out, and, dude, out here on this mountain, with the wind blowing and the sun beating down on us, it's already 100 degrees. On the iPhone, it says it feels like 105. But after you sit there or stand around and yell at people all day, tell them, you know, what they're doing and how to do it and motivate them, and we got some great athletes out here. Much respect to the athletes we've had out here. If you don't train in the morning, you won't train in the evening. Not after a day like that. And believe me, I say that with respect to all the coal miners and construction workers and all those people that have real blue-collar jobs, tougher jobs than I've got. I'm in heaven out here, so it's like a paid vacation, but it's a rough paid vacation. Back to the story. I drank my coffee, Ted, and I was coming around a little bit, put my shit on. I was going to go train back and biceps out there in the gym. I got a little makeshift system out here. It's just a power rack. I got a curl bar, Olympic bar. You know, I can't hardly train with no weight because I'm still recuperating from this shoulder surgery. So, back in biceps, I figured, okay, do a little bit of jump rope just to kind of loosen up, get some blood flowing. I did one set. I think I made 20 jumps. And on the second set, I think I made 25. And I said, all right, I think I'm warm. And I bent down to pick up weight, and I used my left arm, and my goddamn left arm didn't want to bend. And I'm like, man, what the fuck's wrong with my arm? It don't want to bend. And so I grabbed my left arm with my right hand, and it's like someone had buried a golf ball in my elbow. And that son of a bitch is so full of fluid. I was like, what the fuck, man? You know, back in the day, Teddy, when we was when I was in the game of pro wrestling, you know, when you first start out, or yeah, hell, it could be any time. Dude, trying to make a flat back landing, and, you know, sometimes your elbows just bang into that mat and you bust that bursa sac. So literally or virtually all the boys that ever come up in the business have those tennis ball elbows, you know, as you go through the paces, because it kind of comes with the territory. But hell, I ain't had one in so long, I couldn't believe that I had, you know, like fluid on my elbow. And it just happened instantaneously, because I don't remember that fluid being there while I was drinking my coffee. So me being what's that?
You got to post a picture of that thing. Man, that's unnerving. That is unnerving to see that thing.
Dude, it's like an alien. Remember that movie Alien when that thing came out of dude's stomach?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm going to post it on Thursday when this podcast drops. Dude, I went in. I came in. Now, you know, dude, it's what? I got up at 4:45. It's 5:45 in the morning. All of a sudden, you know, I'm freaked out about my elbow. I come in and look at that sumbitch in the mirror. I was like, holy shit. So I'm thinking, man, maybe I'm having an allergic reaction to something. And I was thinking, well, I ain't allergic to nothing. But why did my elbow fill up with fluid, like, instantaneously? And that sumbitch was, you know, you saw it. So anyway, I called Dr. Jimmy, my doctor in San Antonio, and I sent him those two pictures I sent you. And I said, Jimmy, I said, man, what the fuck is wrong with my elbow? I said, do I got an allergic reaction to something? He said, no, that's olecranon bursitis. Olecranon is just a fancy word for elbow. So, you know, going back to my wrestling days, you bust that bursa sac. He goes, you could get that from leaning against a fence or just leaning on a post. Just anything to irritate that will make it dump fluid. Dude, I don't remember doing fuck all to my elbow. I just know that the sumbitch was full as a tick. And so anyway, I said, so I'm good. And he goes, well, just take, do you have any naproxen? I said, nope. He goes, take 800 milligrams of ibuprofen 3 times today. And so that's what I did. The medics on set gave me some. So, man, on the second day, I show up with this big-ass gimmick on the back of my elbow, and everybody on set is like, what the fuck happened? I said, I don't know. My elbow just feel full of fluid. Here, I'm a global icon and a national treasure, and I got a goddamn elbow from here to San Francisco. So anyway, dude, it started off like that, and I said, man, Ted and me are going to do the podcast tonight. I'll send him a picture of this sumbitch. What were you doing when you got the picture?
Dude, I was getting ready to cook some fish. Yeah, I had to put that shit on hold for a little while. Hey, they drained that thing, though, this evening?
Dude, here's the thing. Hey, and here's the thing about the podcast. Man, I was so happy to get so much feedback from the Pat Patterson podcast, and so happy to get the positive feedback from the Revival podcast with Dash and Dawson. Those are two great guys. And I got ahead of myself. But, you know, Teddy, when I start going into production here at the Broken Skull Challenge, man, I mean, we're working. I get up at 4:45 every day, and shit, man, we ain't done till damn near sundown. So right. It's hard to crank out a podcast. I just can't shit out a podcast. So anyway, me and Ted were going to talk shit literally 3 or 4 hours ago as soon as I got off set. No, I got off work at 6:30, and I was going to call Ted at 7:30 and said, hey, man, this doctor is on his way over here. So I started walking around. I'm hearing this big-ass trailer, 4 slides on it. I live out here on set. And I said, well, you know what? While I'm waiting on the doctor, I'll just turn the air conditioner off and do my reads, and then I'll record an open and a close. Well, I did my reads, and then I sent them into Stacy. I started on an open, but it was one of those opens that I fucking hit the stop button, and you've seen me doing it because you've done podcasts with me at the ranch before. If it ain't good enough, and don't believe me, don't get me wrong, I've turned in some shitty podcasts, but if it ain't good enough, I'm going to re-record it. So, dude, I hit the stop right. button about 50 fucking times waiting on this doctor to get here. Finally, I called Teddy. I said, hey, dude, I said, fuck it. You know, whether the doctor's coming or not, let's just podcast. If he, because I don't think he's going to come. And so let's just start recording. And then if he comes, I'll just fucking, hit the pause button and call you back. I'll have something to send to Stacy and we'll continue it. Well, I'll be goddamn. And as soon as I didn't get Teddy on the Skype line, I'm sitting there trying to adjust his volume. The production guy says, doctor's going to be at your trailer in 5 minutes. He was coming over to drain all the fluid out of my elbow. Bear in mind, when you see this picture, you will see why you'd want to drain the fluid out of the elbow. So I'm waiting on this guy. And, you know, 5 minutes in the movie business or 5 minutes in the entertainment business, hell, 5 minutes anywhere, you know, can turn into 30. And that's what it did. Finally, here comes this sumbitch. And he's a good man, good doctor. He was really cool. He looked at my elbow and he goes, that's olecranon bursitis. I said, tell me something I don't know. Yeah, I said, goddamn, Doc, I've been reading about this shit all day. And you want to come in here, act like a hot shot, say that's olecranon bursitis? I'm a little bit ahead of you. Where's your fucking scalpel? Dude, and here's the thing. Since the doctor was coming over, I was like, every night before I go to bed out here on the set, I drink a glass of wine. So I'm like, dude, I'm an early bird out here because I got to get up early and do my shit. I'm like, well, I don't want to get into a glass of vino if this guy's going to be draining some fluid out of my damn arm or give me some kind of medication or something. So I'll keep it on the DL, just hold off and wait on this cat. And he says, man, I used to drain those all the time back in the day. And this guy's an emergency room doctor, real smart guy. He goes, all the orthopedics told me, don't drain those anymore. So he looked at it, he measured it, he felt of it, it wasn't warm or hot, and he says, you know, that's not infected, I think you need to give it, you know, a couple of weeks, and it'll go down. He says, do you have a good orthopedic surgeon? I said, yeah, hello, I got about 20 of those motherfuckers on speed dial. Then they're the ones that have been keeping me together for the last damn 20 years. So anyway, I said, yeah, I was hooked in with a Curlin' Job clinic over there. And if it gets warm or it gets hot or something like that, he'd rather have an orthopedic drain it than himself, because they just don't recommend drain them at this stage. And when I talked to Dr. Jimmy today, he said the same thing. He goes, man, just you're going to just have to ride it out. It'll take a week or two or whatever to go down. So I waited all that time, pushed the podcast all those fucking hours for the doctor to come out here, and he did his due diligence, and he was correct in everything that I read and what my doctor told me. And he was going to give me a shot with some, it was basically anti-inflammatory, but due to the fact that I'd had all the ibuprofen, he didn't even give me a shot. So basically, I got my elbow looked at by a professional. It's going to look like shit on television, but that's the way it goes. So, Teddy, I didn't get nothing drained out of my elbow, because that's not the protocol at this stage in the game.
Hell, I could have come out there and just looked at it for you. and I wouldn't even have billed your insurance.
bring a claw hammer, a tape measure, and a crowbar.
I'll get the fluid out of that son of a bitch.
Dude, I'd let you use a saw, but after you damn near sawed your fingers off, I don't
know. Oh, I'm a lot better on elbows than I am on fingers, yeah.
God damn it, Teddy. I'm swigging down a glass of wine. I've been waiting all day long to wash down the trail dust. And, dude, when I say trail dust, I mean, when I get in the shower, right before I came out here, you know, Kristen packed all my shit up for me. Well, I did too, you know, fuck. But she packed in a scrubber, and she goes, you know you're going to need this in that shower. Dude, I got that damn soap, and if you don't have a scrub brush for your shins and your lower legs, you won't get this red dirt off. Because goddamn, I had a brand new pair of shoes on for the first episode. Goddamn it, after the day was over, I might as well have just put on some tennis shoes I had for 4 years. That's what they look like. Yeah. I put a brand new pair on today, went through those cocksuckers. They look like shit. So you can't keep nothing clean out here. So I got all scrubbed up. I'm cleaned up. I'm drinking a goddamn glass of wine. Are you having an alcoholic beverage tonight?
Dude, I had a little moonshine a little while ago, in fact. I'm out of Jack Daniels. I had a couple of shots of moonshine left in the freezer, so I slugged those down just to settle my nerves before we got started.
Was it a local made, or was it from that store-bought stuff, that Smoky Town?
No. It's that Smoky Mountain stuff. Yeah, it was that apple pie moonshine. It's off the shelf. Nothing local.
So it's bootleg.
No, dude. They sell it in the stores. It's only about 35% alcohol. The damn stuff will freeze if you put it in the freezer for too long.
I get what you're saying. It's the store-bought stuff.
Yeah.
Dude, that stuff is good.
Oh, dude, it's tasty. Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, since I didn't have any Jack Daniels and I'm trying to, you know, wean off those beers, you know, to cut a little weight, I got to do something. I got to have a vice of some sort, so I hit the moonshine.
Goddamn, what about pussy? That's a great vice.
Ah, dude.
Low-calorie.
Once again, get a map. I'm in Rockport.
Goddamn.
Dude, you know my luck with girls. I'm trying to put the bite on a chick at the post office. Yeah.
How'd that go? Did you get a chance to mail your letter?
You can read into that whatever you want. No, we're just, you know, making little googly eyes at each other right now. It has not escalated. I will keep you abreast.
Dude, those junior high shenanigans ain't gonna work. You're 50 years old. What happened to goddamn fish bait or whatever the fuck that was called? Tinder, whatever the thing you was using. What was that called?
Oh, fucking Plenty of Fish. Plenty of fish. That was weak, man. That was 90% spam, you know, and then 10% bullshit. You know, so there was nothing that came out of that. So right now I'm kind of the next step's gonna be the Where do the monks go? The monastery? You know? Yeah, dude, deer season can't get here soon enough, you know? I need to spend a little quiet time, with myself in a deer blind.
Here's the thing. I will be sitting over in a deer stand and be looking out there and watch a damn doe run across the field, and you're chasing that cocksucker.
Yeah, with a handful of flowers, you know?
Goddamn corn feeders go off. Ted is over eating corn, waiting on a doe to come in. Hooty hoot. Okay, need to give a quick word of thanks to all the sponsors of the Steve Austin Show and to you guys for supporting all the sponsors. And that, of course, includes the one that could net you some serious instant cash, DraftKings.com. Football is back. Preseason started, and I know y'all are scouting players and stats to get in on the fantasy football action, and you know the best place to do that, DraftKings.com. And if you use my promo code UNLEASHED, you can play for free with your first deposit. So put your knowledge to the test and play for your shot at the $1 million top prize at DraftKings.com. And that's just a small part of the $5 million in total prizes they're doling out in this week one contest. And you know DraftKings.com is the destination for one-week fantasy football. And 1 week means no season-long commitments. It also means you play whenever you want with the players you want. And it's easy. You just pick your contest, draft your players, and follow your team live. You can create and play in a private league or join an existing league and go head-to-head with friends, co-workers, and fantasy players from all across the country. So hurry to DraftKings.com to choose your players, and you could win some serious cash in week one. Use my promo code UNLEASHED and play for free with your first deposit. That's promo code UNLEASHED to play for free at DraftKings.com. That is DraftKings.com. Eligibility restrictions may apply. See website for details.
College football is back in the biggest, most epic kickoff weekend ever. Top-ranked teams and top-tier matchups.
We have as good an opening week slate of games that I can ever remember.
Number 20 USC takes on the top-ranked defending champion Crimson Tide. Number 10 Notre Dame faces Texas. And number 11 Ole Miss battles the fourth-ranked Seminoles. The road to the college football playoff starts Labor Day weekend on ABC, ESPN, and streaming live on the ESPN app and watch ESPN.
Steve Austin. Unleashed.
Teddy, I set out on Twitter, Steve Austin BSR, my Twitter account. I said, hey, man, I'm talking to Ted Fowler. And one cocksucker, I said, if you got questions, send them to questions at steveaustinshow.com. One guy promptly tweets me back, why do you talk to Ted Fowler so much? Can't you talk to someone else?
I'm like, I saw that, dude.
Yeah. Hey, you mealy-mouthed motherfucker. I said, did my phone just go off?
Yeah,
that was I owe everybody a fucking beer. I was waiting on that goddamn doctor to get here. Everybody that's listening to the podcast, owe you a beer. If you see me pass to an airport, I'll buy you a round. Where was I, Teddy?
Yeah, you were talking about that guy flipping me shit on
Twitter. Oh, yeah. It's like, yeah. Can't you talk to anybody else? I'm like, all right, motherfucker, first of all, he's a good friend of mine. Second of all, he's one of my drinking partners. Third of all, he's my hunting buddy. And I'm out here filming a damn show. It's not like I can just jump up and go interview Joe Blow after doing a bunch of research. Man, I'm working from basically sun up to sundown just trying to keep it current. I was able to bank up a couple of those podcasts, like I said, and then, fuck, I'm always glad to talk to you. Anyway, half the time, you know, we get strung out on trying to come up with a podcast, and our phone calls are better than the podcast. So I said, fuck, I'll just talk to Teddy on a goddamn phone.
Yeah, fourth of all, most of your friends are in bed by 11:30 at night, except for Teddy.
Well, yeah, and the list of friends is pretty goddamn short, so especially when you come on the Unleashed podcast. So it's not like I got a deep well from which to draw in. And while I'm talking about Twitter, Teddy, I sent out a picture the other day of my little setup down there training over here at the Broken Skull Challenge compound.
Yeah.
I said, just getting a workout in, calm before the storm. Broken Skull Challenge starts tomorrow. And it's a picture of my power rack. And there's an Olympic bar there. And I think it has 80 pounds on it. A quarter on each side, a 10 on each side, and a 5. And then someone said, well, who's training with you? Your mom?
Dude, like, what the fuck is wrong with people? Well, I mean, every opportunity to, you know, take a whack at you, it's like, dude, lighten up, man. How bad is your life that you got to, you know, do shit like that?
Dude, I've sent out plenty of damn tweets where, hey, I was cranking up the heavy metal, you know, busting out a workout. You know, and I just said, hey, man, you know, banging some iron, listening to, you know, whatever, you know, Slayer or Metallica or something like that.
Right, right.
But this time I actually took a picture of the weights that I was using. You know, a lot of these people load up 3 wheels, 4 wheels, 5 wheels. Now, don't get me wrong. There's some badass, strong people that do that. But here's the thing. First of all, I'm not badass and strong with a bunch of wheels on the bar, but the major thing is I'm recovering from a rebuilt shoulder. I had my goddamn entire right shoulder rebuilt 4 months ago and my bicep reattached. And right now, man, I can do a dumbbell bench press, you know, 100 pounds, left hand, 15 times, no sweat. But the right side, right now, I'm up to 35 pounds. So now, instead of training my left side heavy and my right side light, I just train bilaterally now. So I just, and that was the first time I'd touched an Olympic bar. I had just been doing dumbbell presses because I don't have the same flexibility in my right shoulder as I do in my left. And when you grabbed onto that bar, you know, it tracks you and you don't have the range of motion that a dumbbell affords. So my first barbell bench press session, I've got 80 pounds on the bar and somebody on Twitter has to rip me a new asshole. I'm making a comeback, you smart mouth motherfucker. Jesus Christ. I was over in Long Beach, Teddy, talking to C.T. Fletcher. He come up with this classic line that I had to borrow from him. He goes, Steve, I got a low tolerance for pussies.
No, dude, you're absolutely right. You know, I mean, it's I don't get that out of people. You know, I mean, any opportunity, you know, to take a whack at somebody, that's, you know, that's bullshit.
Well, but you know, here's the thing, Teddy. It doesn't really matter about that because after I got on that strength kick and I was, you know, doing percentages based on one rep max, and my shoulder was all beat up to begin with and probably already partially torn, and I tore the infra and the supra, and then, you know, mania, you know, labrum, bicep, everything. Dude, when you put it all together, put your shoulder back together, you know, at 51, you know, I'm not a guy who's ever going to get a facelift. I'm not going to get a tummy tuck. But when you blow out a shoulder or a bicep, or you need ACL and PCL put in your knee, that's the kind of shit. When something goes wrong, you fix it. But that being said, with respect to how I train in the future, I want to get the bench back up so that I'm lifting, you know, in the range of what I was training. But when I tried to get strong for no reason, because here's the thing, no one gives a flying shit how strong Steve Austin is. If you see him walking down the street, hey, how much that guy bench press? And
correct.
When it comes down to it, I don't really give a shit either. I got hung on it back then, you know, before I tore my shoulder. But at the end of the day, I just want to look good and I want to feel good. And after 15 years of wrestling, beating the shit out of my body, tacked on the, you know, shit, the 12 years I played football, you know, fuck, I'm just trying to make it, you know, through life. So it really made me have a come to Jesus meeting with myself that when I get this thing fully back 100% and due to the work that the guy did in there, I think I will get 100% back. I don't give a shit if I've got two wheels on the bar, a buck 85 or whatever. I remember when I used to live in Denton, Texas, the Missing Link. Do you remember him, the guy who painted his face green?
No, I do not. I don't remember that guy.
Dude, well, he was a little bit before, you know, not your time because you're as old as I am, but he was out of Dallas, great gimmick, super physique. You know, he would go down to the gym that I trained at, and all that guy would do, he'd put a quarter on each side of an Olympic bar, and he would just sit there and lay there and bench press, strict motion, no fucking heavy weights, and he looked like $1 million. I think he had pretty good genetics. Could have been on a little something. But, dude, he didn't give a flying shit. You know, he was just in there training to look good. I'm going to train with more than 95 pounds. But my point is, Teddy, at this stage of the game, I'm not trying to get laid. I'm not trying to be the strongest guy in the gym. I just want to look good and feel good, and that's about it.
Right. No, dude, I'm totally down with that. I mean, and I totally get it. You know, it's the younger generation that's all about, you know, well, I did, you know, 495, you know, for four reps. Dude, who gives a shit, you know? Yeah, I mean, if we were 30, we would be right there, or you would be right there. You're stronger than me.
you know, doing that shit. But it's like, nah, dude.
Well, dude, just like you said, when you're 20 or 30, yeah, you go through your different phases. I've been through a bunch of phases. So anyway, yeah, I'm not going to blow anybody out of goddamn water. I got a bunch of my friends that are powerlifters and bodybuilders, and I respect them. But now, I'm in a... And I love watching people, you know, lift heavy weights or jump higher or throw shit further. Man, I that's one of the things I like to watch most. But me, for myself, I'm just trying to look good as I can genetically, and that's about it. Teddy, let's go to some questions that people sent in. Enough of me flapping my goddamn gums about nothing. We've told this story many times before. I don't know if you want to start it off, but several people who are new to the podcast asked, how did you guys meet? Did Ted know who you were? Did you know who the great Ted Fowler was? Dude, last time I remember we was down at the ranch, give or take about 8 years ago, a former friend of ours, he brought you down. How long had you been at Rockport at the time?
You know what? I'd been down there probably 2 years before you and I crossed paths. And the player to be named later there, you know, told me, he said, hey, man, we got an opportunity to go, you know, to Tilden and look at this ranch, and there's a guy I want you to meet. And I said, okay. So I rode up there. Remember, it was a big rainstorm going on. And I think you had just bought the ranch because there wasn't, you know, they were moving out. There wasn't anything going on. And if I remember, I was riding with those guys. You were trailing behind us in your vehicle. I got out to open the gate. And when he drove past, he says, hey, man, jump in with him. I'm like, okay, cool. You know, so I held the gate, and you were cool enough. I remember this, man. You were cool enough when you drove through the gate. You actually backed up to the gate and put your lights in reverse so I could see, you know, because it's dark. It's raining like hell. And you turn on your clear reverse lights so I could see to lock the gate. And then I jumped in the cab of the truck, and You said, hey, I'm Steve. And I go, yeah, I'm Ted. And he goes, so you're a contractor down there in Rockport. I go, yeah, what about you? What do you do? Yeah. You looked at me, and then we just started laughing, and you know, it just unraveled from there. Yeah.
Hey, man, here's the thing. Going back to the gate etiquette, man. If you're opening or closing a gate at night, man, if you're driving through, man, if you're pointed at the gate and someone's opening it, your headlights are on the gate. But when you pull through a gate, that's, man, if you're from Texas, that's just etiquette or protocol. Back up just a con hair. Keep the reverse lights on so the person can see what they're doing at the gate. Or they can look for rattlesnakes or whatever if it's rattlesnake season. So, yeah, man, it was cool that you noticed that. But, you know, that's just kind of what you do.
Oh, yeah, dude. No, I mean, it was surreal. You know, I mean, watching you on TV all these years, and then all of a sudden, you know, hell, I'm riding shotgun with you, and we're tooling down the road. It's like, you know, this is pretty cool.
And fast forward it to, goddamn it, you know, we just started hunting together, and, you know, we pulled a couple of ribs on you, you know, out there, and we just started drinking and having fun. And, well, the thing was, we just had a lot in common. We both like people, but goddamn, we're okay not talking to anybody for a couple of days as well. So you would mind your business, go out there and work your ass off, come back. I'd go do my thing. And so, like, it's always cool to hook up and drink Crown and Jack and just, you know, get a hell of a damn buzz on. I probably fell down a couple times on that front porch. And you remember that? Because we closed up shop several times. But that's basically, and that's, man, that's been going on, shit, almost 9 years.
Yeah. I mean, you and I are the kind of people where we can say hello to each other in the morning and then not say anything until evening time. Even though we cross paths, you're doing your thing, I'm doing my thing. You know, we're both driven by the task that we're doing. You know, there's no feeling like, you know, hey, man, every time he walks by me, I got to talk to him. And it's not a disrespect. It's like, you're doing your thing, I'm doing my thing, and we're cool with that. And then we catch up in the evening, you know, do our thing, go to bed, and get up the next morning and do it again.
Dude,
you know,
and that's the thing, because, you know, some people think, oh, man, you got to entertain this person. Hey, kind of, you know, well, dude, that's the thing. We've never been like that the whole time we met.
No. Huh.
Because at first, you know, the other guy was the bridge. Then he got shit canned, and then that bridge wasn't there. So, dude, we just started doing our thing and just turned into good friends. Now, let's move on from there. Teddy, right. Here's a question from Matthew Mason. It says, did Ted ever clean out that foul-ass freezer from weeks ago? What happened, Teddy? Last time I was there, that refrigerator was on the front porch, and it hadn't been assembled yet.
Yeah, no, I got that thing all slicked down, got it cleaned out, got it back into your house, put it back together. It is currently unplugged, but yes, it is back to showroom condition and in your house and ready to be, you know, stockpiled with whatever type of organic shit you guys are going to buy and put in there.
Hey, man, so what did we lose? We lost one refrigerator out, Dale?
Yeah, out of five. You know, one of them was it just didn't cool anymore. You know, on top of the fact it stunk to high heaven.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, man, we got another question here. It's from Ryan Gall. It's a long-winded email. I'll break down some of the questions. He says, "Hey, man, what's the plans for deer season? Are you going to fill the ponds this year? It'd be pretty cool listening to you guys produce some audio gold with, okay, he's talking about fishing. I don't know if we got any audio gold. I'm too tired for audio gold." He's wondering about Al E or Alice E. Gator. Is she a size that's going to be a problem? Let's go to the first question. Plans for deer season? Hey, man, deer season is really right around the corner. Because Redneck Island was not picked up for another season, normally once I finish Broken Skull Challenge, I go to Mexico or Georgia to film that show. Well, that's been taken off the books. So, man, when that happened, I called up Teddy. I said, "Dude, when does dove season start?" Teddy, when does dove season start?
September 23rd.
September 23rd. We wrap Broken Skull Challenge on September 20th. So I'm going to hang out in L.A. for about a week, and then I'm going to drive down, I don't know, probably 7 or 10 days after we wrap, I'm driving down to Texas, and Teddy's already got a couple hundred rounds of 12-gauge shotgun shells. So, boy, I tell you what, we're going to lay it on the doves, and I'm going to go down there for a little bit, and then I'm going to drive back. And Kristen and the dogs will probably stay in California. And then I'll do a little bit of work in October. So my slate is clean from September 20th all the way to the new year, because all my guys at UTA know that November, December, and half of January are spent at the ranch doing work and deer hunting. This year, I'm always so busy doing stuff. I haven't made dove season in probably the last 20 years, full speed. So I'm looking forward to this year. And as far as deer season goes, we'll start feeding probably, what did we say, Teddy, mid-October or early October?
Yeah. Yeah, first week of October, we'll start slinging corn, yes.
Start slinging corn, and then I'll creep down there. We'll probably start hunting, really, maybe last week of October. You can. I'm going to start probably when I get down there in November. I can't leave L.A. too soon. And it's just going to be regular deer season. As far as filling those ponds, this is a guy that's listened to the show for a long time because he knows that when I bought that ranch, all those ponds were full of water, and they had fish in them. But when the drought hit, and it sapped us for about 7 years down there, Teddy, all the ponds dried out, and those ponds were silted in with a bunch of sand. I don't want to go into the technical detail of cleaning out those ponds, but we spent a lot of money going back to a hard clay bottom. Finally, the rain came and filled all those ponds back up, and he's asking if we're going to fill them up full of fish again. And, you know, I'm still debating it. In fact, we've been waiting on that for a while because a lot of times we'll use a big, long poly pipe, and we're pumping water in there from a Carrizo water well, which is 5,000 feet in the ground. So when that water gets in those ponds, when it's not raining to fill them, it's coming out at 160 degrees. So we're wondering if we'll end up boiling the fish. That hasn't been a problem lately because it has been raining cats and dogs at the Broken Skull Ranch. Teddy went down there and sent me some pictures. And when I first looked at that ranch, Teddy, that water from the river was backed up to the middle of the ranch. And the pictures you sent me, and the time I first went down to see the ranch before I bought it was the most water I've ever seen. And those pictures you showed me, goddamn, dude, there's fucking water everywhere. And I ain't complaining about it because we were in a drought for 7-8 years.
Well, you know what? You were just down there, what, 3 weeks ago?
Yeah, three or four.
Three or four weeks ago, did a bunch of mowing. And then when you left, I went down and did, you know, finished up the rest of the mowing. And when I went back Saturday, and down here in Rockport, it hadn't started raining yet. So I didn't realize that it was raining, you know, at the ranch and further north and all that stuff was draining down. Dude, it doesn't even look like we mowed. I mean, the grass is, you know, thigh high already. And it's like, holy cow. Yeah, we got a bumper crop of mosquitoes. The deer should just be absolutely phenomenal with all of the rain. You know, but the grass is, you know, off the hook.
I know, and the thing about that ranch is, man, Teddy and I work our ass off from November, December through January, mowing that whole motherfucker down. Not the whole ranch, just the roadways and some of the pastures that I like keeping cleared up. And so you work like a bastard to clean that up. And then all of a sudden that rain dumps and just shit just sprouts up. It's like Ted says, it's like you never did anything. But you know what, dude? That's part of the process. Headaches, hassles, and horse shit.
Oh, yeah.
And here's the thing, dude. When you first start mowing, those first few laps are cool because, you know, sometimes I sit there on that tractor and maybe I got some jams going, 3 and 20 band or whatever. Or maybe I got my headphones plugged into some iTunes or Pandora. Or maybe I got my iPhones plugged into Pandora or, you know, some... dude, I've really been listening to some old Eddie Rabbit lately. I've really been digging that. But sometimes I don't think about a goddamn thing. But then, you know what? After about 2 days of that, maybe 2.5, it starts like... Really?
Oh, shit gets old.
Hey, and here's the thing, man. Teddy used to think, because Teddy never would mow the grass, because... Go ahead, Teddy.
I have a little miscommunication. Yeah, I thought that you said it was very relaxing for you to, you know, get out of Hollywood, come down to Texas, and just veg out, get in the tractor, and just mow, mow, mow. So, you know, when I knew you were coming down, I stopped mowing, and I let everything grow up, thinking, boy, he'll be the happiest one when he gets here.
No, no, no.
We covered that.
Dude, it's like, you know, it's something to do and it's cool for a while, but then after a while it's just a gut full. So I'm not in love with mowing. I just did it because, you know, it's my place and I got to keep it up. And as much work as you do down there, I just can't say, hey, dude, get your ass on that fucking tractor, or hey, go do this. We don't really have that kind of relationship.
No, we both
know what needs to be done and we just kind of do it. And that's the way it works out. But I was like, man, this motherfucker, I guess I'm going to have to ask him to get on the tractor. I felt like shit asking you.
After I mowed the dove fields, I stopped because I was like, boy, I'm glad to be off of that son of a bitch. Get Steve down here. There'll be plenty for him to mow. He'll be the happiest one. And then once those guys, you know, head back to L.A., it'll be business as usual, and I'll start mowing again. Yeah.
Yeah, people say, man, why don't you just hire somebody to go down there and mow? And I'm like, man, dude, I don't want nobody on my ranch. So we got to do it. Hey, man, let me take a break here to thank another sponsor of the podcast, True Car, and the True Car app. If you're looking to buy a new or used car, then you need to check out TrueCar.com and the True Car app. I bet you didn't know that you can use True Car to help you buy a used car, too. It ain't just for new car purchases. There are over 500,000 pre-owned vehicles available from True Car certified dealers nationwide, and there are over 11,000 True Car certified dealers. And True Car lets you get upfront pricing information on new and used vehicles and lets you see what other people paid for the car you want so that you feel confident you're getting a fair price. With True Car, via the True Car pricing curve, you see what other people paid for the car and you lock in your guaranteed savings. Then you can connect with a local certified dealer of your choosing, take them your True Car Guaranteed Savings Certificate, and make your car buying experience quick and easy. Over 2 million cars have been sold to True Car users by the True Car Certified Dealer Network, and True Car users save an average of over $3,000 off MSRP. So when you're ready to buy a new or used car, visit TrueCar.com or download the True Car app to enjoy a better car buying experience. Some features not available in all states. Y'all know that DDP Yoga has changed thousands of lives, including the lives of some of your favorite pro wrestlers, like Jake the Snake, Scott Hall, one and only Mick Foley, AJ Styles, and Chris Jericho. They all swear by DDP Yoga. And now, DDP has taken his life-changing program to a whole nother level with the DDP Yoga Now app, which you can get for both iOS and Android devices. So now you ain't got no more excuses about why you can't start DDP Yoga. The app means you can do it anytime, anywhere. And the cool thing about the app is that you can track more than just DDP Yoga workouts. By connecting to a Bluetooth heart rate monitor, you can track your calories and heart rate in real time. You can track your pain, measurements, and progress photos too, all for free in the app. You've got tons of workouts to choose from. The original DDP Yoga workouts, the new 2.0 workouts, and weekly live workouts from the DDP Yoga Performance Center. And DDP even hosts a gluten-free, dairy-free cooking show with all kinds of surprise guests. So get your workout on, get your healthy cooking on, get on the DDP Yoga program using the DDP Yoga Now app. And to make it even easier than he's already made it, for a limited time, you can get the DDP Yoga DVDs for 20% off, plus 3 months of full access to the DDP Yoga Now app. Just go to ddpyoga.com/Austin. That is ddpyoga.com/Austin to take advantage of this great deal. Commit now. Change your life now. Go to ddpyoga.com/Austin to get started.
Hey, let's move on, Teddy. Here's one. Comes from Corey Waltrek. He says, "Hey, I just wonder if you guys are still using Lizzie and Eckel deer feed. Part of my family runs that place, and I grew up in Poth, Texas, where that place originated. I hope the deer field is working out for Ted and you. All right, he's a pro wrestler on the side. He's a bug man. He kills bugs in the pest control industry. Hell, we should have called him up on the Skype and asked him about those fucking ladybugs."
About the ladybugs, right?
Hey, anyway, yeah, man, ain't an endorsement, but yeah, we're throwing down some Lizzie and Eckel. We're happy with it, and it does a good job for us. "Hey, Steve, any chance you and Ted will film some preseason deer hunts for YouTube or a TV show? You both talked about it before." Hey, you know, that's coming from Matt Sears. You know what, Matt? Man, I think hunting shows are cool as shit, and I know Ted watches a lot of them. But, man, I tell you what, you talk about time-consuming, doing the work, man, that I do out here, this is time-consuming, but at least it's, you know, in a window box of time with the hunting shows. I know Sean Michaels does a lot of traveling with the MRA hunting show, him and Keith Mark. So, man, I just think for where I'm at right now, it would just have to be – I just wouldn't be interested in doing it, just because I think I like hunting on my own time, on my own ranch, for my own relaxation. And I'm just – man, I don't think I have any interest in it. Teddy, hunting show for you. You enjoy watching a lot of hunting shows on TV. What's some of your go-to hunting shows?
Oh, dude, whatever's on 604. I mean, I don't have anything that I – and 604 is the outdoor channel, you know, for me here in DirecTV. I don't have anything that I watch religiously. I just enjoy, you know, watching hunting shows. I enjoy the fishing shows, you know, like the Wicked Tuna and stuff like that where the people are fishing, because I'm into that sport. You know, but dude, when we're out there at the ranch, we're working all of the time. And when 90% of the time, when we're not working, we're sitting in a deer blind, you know. So if you were going to do a show, it'd be a show about the stuff we do outside of the actual hunt, you know. I mean, we ain't got time for that. And, you know, you're the actor, not me.
Oh, dude, stop it.
Hey, I was texting my agent, telling him, saying, "Hey, man, we got a big opportunity coming here. I'm downplaying it, but we got a big opportunity coming, big payday."
Where'd you pick up your agent at, Teddy?
Agents are us, man. Went online.
All right, here's another question. Comes from Luke Alder. He said, "Hey, my question is for you as a guy who travels a lot with work. How do you eat on the roads before you hit the big time dollars to maintain your physique? Any handy tips you can give a guy trying to eat right on the go and on a snug dime? Hope the shoulder is doing good and family all well. Luke." Hey, Luke, I appreciate that. Hey, man, eating on the road actually is a lot easier than it used to be. Because if you roll up, I mean, well, hold on now. He's in West Yorkshire, England. I'm thinking about the United States. So, sorry, Luke. I might not be able to help you, but over here in the States, I'll tell you how we did it. You got Denny's, IHOP, Waffle House. Those are a couple of staples that we would use. Obviously, in different regions, there's other ones that pop up into the equation. But, man, you can always get grilled chicken there. You can always get some clean white rice or a baked potato or a sweet potato or some green beans. You can roll through any fast food place. And if you just get, hey, man, a double burger, shit can the buns and just eat the meat. Add a little fat content, but you're not eating those fast carbs. No french fries, no Coke, no bullshit. Just go caveman style when you go through the fast food place. Don't stop through the Taco Bell as much as I like them. They ain't got nothing that's healthy. But, you know, like all your major burger joints, just eat the burgers. All of your, you know, your pancake or waffle places. You know, Waffle House was so famous with the boys, especially when I'd come up in the USWA territory. And that's where we all lived, on the road, pull over and get a grilled chicken breast, steam hash browns, and you can eat clean. So it ain't nothing but a thing if you just put your mind to it and make your selections. Problem is, well, I won't go into drinking and eating anymore because that doesn't exist. But back in the day, you get a couple of beers in your gullet and you want to hit a Waffle House, it's hard to order the healthy options. Teddy, how you doing with your diet over there? Do you ever go out to a Waffle House?
No, we don't have any Waffle Houses here in Rockport.
It's a crime. Man, I got a sushi joint, but you ain't got no Waffle House. That sounds so un-Texas.
Dude, outside of, you know, going to sushi maybe once every 3 weeks, dude, I don't go out to eat. You know, I mean, I eat at the house every single meal. You know, I don't, you know, don't go to any restaurants. Don't really do the fast food deal. Just go to H-E-B, get what I need for a couple of days, and come home and cook it.
I will say this, Luke, and wrapping up this question, I find England is a wonderful country. I have a tremendous following of the show over there. So I love working over there. I like working over there. I love the Germany tours and all that stuff. But England is a hard place to eat healthy just because the menu is totally different. So it is a little more difficult to eat over there. If someone is from England that has some healthy food options that I don't know about as far as the restaurants that I just mentioned, hey, man, send me an email to questions at steveaustinshow.com, and I will get back with Luke and help him out. But it's pretty traditional food over there. You know, when I say traditional, you know, like when you go to breakfast, there's always like – I don't think they call them pork beans, but you like pork and beans, Teddy?
Oh, yeah.
You can always get those in like a buffet. Their eggs are different than ours, and like when you order egg whites over there, you know, it seems like I think more and more people are eating egg whites over there, but sometimes they'll look at you real funny when you just order egg whites. Well, you can go to Texas, and they'll look funny when you order egg whites. But just a lot of sausage, a lot of bacon, shepherd's pie, so...
Dude, what the hell is it? What the hell is a crumpet?
I don't know what a crumpet is. Some kind of bread, I think.
Like a biscuit?
Yeah, but it's like a biscuit, but it's a crumpet.
You a world traveler, you. You gonna Google it? I like crumpet and sausage gravy, please. Yes, I had a grits.
Sorry.
They look at you like, what the hell?
Sorry, I was drawing another ladybug. Luke, good luck over there. And again, if you got any suggestions for Luke or how to eat clean, send me an email to questions@steveoffshow.com. Hey, man, here's a question. Hey, Steve, my name is Double M, and I'm a big fan of the show and have a question about WCW War Games. I was watching your match in 1992 when you were in the Dangerous Alliance versus Sting Squadron. I love that match. My question is, what is your take on the War Games concept and why WWE didn't use it when they purchased WCW? Thank you, Steve. Man, I tell you what. Teddy, did you ever see War Games 1992?
No, sir.
God,
no, I did not.
Dang, man, I can't remember who all was in that match. I've been head-to-head with so many steel chairs. Myself, Rick Rude, Larry Zbysko, beautiful Bobby Eaton, Arn Anderson. And on the babyface side, Sting, Dustin Rhodes, Ricky Steamboat, Nikita Koloff, God damn it, I'm forgetting one baby. Barry Windham. Holy shit, Barry Windham, one of my favorites. Anyway, so that's what I think about that match. This is 1992, and I remembered all the participants. It was a double ring set up, enclosed inside a steel cage, and a representative from each team would go in at certain amounts of time, and you would do battle. And then all of a sudden, everybody was in the ring, and you just keep going until there was a submission or pinfall. Anyway, I tell you what, man, I was called upon to get a little color in that match. I hit a good one, man, and this is back when I had I'm not really long blonde hair, but blonde hair. And I'll never forget, man, me and Dustin Rhodes were doing something, and this is back when he was wrestling as Dustin Rhodes, and I loved working with Dustin. You talk about a damn working machine in the ring and can still do it to this day at a high level. We were doing something in the ring. I think he was on top of me, pounding me. We had just done something. And he looks up, he looks down at me, and he's beating the shit out of me. He goes, "God damn, man, good color." Because I had a good blade job going, I was bleeding like a stuck pig. I said, "All right, thanks." Anyway, we got back in action, started kicking ass again. I think the finish happened when Larry Zbyszko misfired. He had unscrewed the turnbuckle, hit Bobby Eaton in the arm, and then someone grabbed an armbar on Bobby, and he submitted. I think that's how we lost the match. So, if memory serves me correctly, I'll go back on YouTube and rewatch that match. But I love the War Games concept. It was a great match. When you look at who was in that ring, there's so many Hall of Famers in there, or people that should be in the Hall of Fame but aren't yet. It is unbelievable. I think, was Paulie down there? Was Medusa down there? I can't remember that. Why did WWE not use that when they purchased WCW? I don't know. But I'll tell you what, for some reason, if they instituted it now, it'd be out of the blue, it'd be random, but man, it would be cool. But in today's landscape of professional wrestling, sports entertainment, without being able to get the color, you know, I don't know that that match would be what it was back then. Teddy, I got a question here. I can't remember who it was from. But because I'm just going through all these emails, just trying to click on my ones that I really want to ask you. But there was a question for somebody. It was, what was your favorite era of wrestling? 80s, 90s, 2000? And I'll let you answer that first because, no, I want to answer first because I want to get mine out of the way so I don't influence you. When I go back and look at one of my favorite wrestling eras were, I'll never forget as a kid, you know, when I was 7 or 8 and I first started watching Houston wrestling, and I knew that's what I wanted to do with my life. These days, or like 5 years ago, when I would go, you know, just do cardio to try to get in shape or get ready for a gig, most of my stuff always goes back to mid 80s NWA, Mid South Power Pro. That's my favorite era of professional wrestling. I love the Attitude Era. I did it, and it was a blast, and I had a great time. And that was a premier era in the history of the business. I loved Hulk Hogan's run, but just as a pure wrestling fan, the run of Flair, the Four Horsemen, Nikita, Steamboat, Barry, Midnight Express, Rock and Roll Express, all those guys down there, and then what Bill Watts was doing in Mid-South Power Pro with the Freebirds, and you know, that stuff, that world-class championship wrestling. I go back, I'm kind of a mid-80s guy when wrestling was regionally at its peak, and that remains my favorite wrestling. You know, there's some 70s stuff, there's stuff from different eras, it's cool, and I think what they're doing today, there's a lot of great athletes out there today. We just saw a hellacious match with John Cena and AJ Styles. They got a couple of more builds that are going to come up in the future, but those are my favorite eras, those are my favorite promotions right there. Teddy, coming up in Phoenix, what was it for you, you know, then, and, you know, as your favorite standard from all time?
Man, I'm a mid-90s guy. You know, the 80s style wrestling back in the day didn't it wasn't as edgy. There wasn't the TNA, you know, there wasn't the Attitude Era, and that's what I bought into was, you know, the sex and, you know, the attitude in the 90s. That's what I went. Now, the older I got, then I start going back into the 80s and, you know, watching Flair and Steamboat and, you know, those guys, and watching, looking past the attitudes and the showmanship. And not that, you know, guys in the 90s weren't wrestling, but going back to the old style where there was less mic time. But then when there was a guy on the mic like Ric Flair, it was like, oh, good God, look at this guy. I mean, how over the top can you be, you know?
In a good way.
No. I mean, way in a good way, you know? And, you know, it was the Iron Sheik and, you know, the Sergeant Slaughter and stuff. And, you know, pitting the U.S. against everybody and stuff like that was totally cool. And, you know, man, I remember Val Venus, you know, and all of his chicks, and I bought into all of that stuff, you know, back that was the era that I really dug.
So tell me about the sex part of the Attitude Era, because for a lot of people, and even some of the not the current roster, but maybe the generation behind me, but the generation that just left, and who actually participated in parts of the Attitude Era, will say that was more of a downward spiral for them. When you look back, when you ring in the cash register, it was the most profitable period in the history of professional wrestling. But because of all the sexual innuendos and the sexualized product, for right. a lot of guys, that was a turnoff. But you dug it for those reasons.
Oh, dude, you know, and Trish Stratus with her deal with Vince and, you know, I mean, I know you're friends with Brock, you know, but I mean, seeing Sable up there do her thing is like, you know, hey, now we're cooking, you know. So as a guy, you know, I'm watching that stuff, you know, that to me, you know, I mean, I dug it for the sport, I dug it for the entertainment factor, but then, you know, God dang, who was Stacy Keibler and stuff like that, you know, and all the bra and panty matches, I'm like, yeah, you know, I pulled my chair a little closer to the set for that action, you know, yeah, but it's not that I outgrew that, you know, shit, at 50, I'm still a fucking idiot for that, you know, you know, but it's like now I sit back and I look at the athleticism of the newer guys, you know, the stuff that's going on now. I see all the high flying events, and then I'll go on the WWE Network and, you know, watch some of the stuff with Ric Flair and just listen to him talk, you know, the Cadillac driving and, you know,
limousine ride, the Cadillac same, driving, yeah,
never wore the same suit twice and woo, you know. And, dude, I'm sitting in my living room by myself with the dogs and I'm laughing my ass off at this idiot on the TV just going, dude, this guy is so over the top. I mean, how cool to have that kind of creative gene to pull that off. And you look at those people in the stands and they're buying into it just as I am in my living room. You know, I mean, that's beautiful, man, to be able to do that.
And here's the thing, the way Flair did it, and, you know, he's my favorite pro wrestler of all time. I've said that a million times. Just the way the whole fucking package of start to finish, where Ric Flair, you know, in the ring, wardrobe, the suits, all that shit. You got to understand. Let's try to take an inside look. And I'm from the business. I'm one of the boys who had a run. And you're a guy who was a fan of the business and can appreciate it. But check it out, dude. When you get strung out on the road and the way those guys were running hard back then, I mean really hard, and the business was very hot, Hal Flair, who was a guy who was going 60 minutes almost every single night, Broadways or whatever, even if he wasn't going 60 minutes, just because he's Ric Flair and he takes so much pride in what he's doing, he's going to go 30 or 45. You know, and sure, he's going to have the 25-minute match here or there, but that guy was always putting in time in the ring. Then, you know, he was a party animal. I'll just leave it at that. Everybody knows about Ric Flair. And for him to do that, the consistency, the greatness, the matches, all the world championships, you realize how much, I mean, he lived, ate, slept, breathed the business. And dare say his personal life had its, you know, ramifications on that, as in mine, as in a lot of the boys. But man, he wasn't just halfway in, he was all the way in. And when you look at the body of work that Ric Flair left behind on video or on the network or whatever you want to call it, just as far as his body of work in the ring, behind a microphone, angles, storylines, and then the way he traveled and represented the business, going to Japan and all the different parts of the world, he was for a shoot. Back in the day, like when they had those real traveling world champions, God damn, he didn't have that belt so many times because he was lucky. He was that goddamn good.
Dude, he was one of those guys that lived and promoted professional wrestling 24/7, 7 days a week. I mean, it wasn't come in Monday for a taping and you can do your thing until Thursday. No, every day of the week. I really truly think if you ever crossed paths with Ric Flair, you would see, maybe just a little bit of a nicked down version of what you see on TV, but that's still the rootin' tootin', son of a bitch that you see on TV just living that lifestyle, that professional wrestlers, lived back then, and that's beautiful, man. That's a draw. That's captivating.
Man, I tell you what, the thing about that guy, he carried himself like a winner all the time. And man, all the times he's been just dragged down the road. I mean, there's stories of him losing his briefcase or losing the belt or whatever the stories are. They always seem to pop up for him. Did you get a chance to watch that NXT pay-per-view that they just had? I just got finished talking to a tag team from NXT, their NXT champions, Revival, the Revival. Did you get a chance to listen to that podcast?
No, dude, I just watched the I didn't listen to that podcast. I'm behind. I just listened to the one with Pat Patterson, which was very cool. And in fact, I just watched the pay-per-view. Oh, God damn it. SummerSlam? What was the one they did? Yeah, SummerSlam, yeah, because I wanted to see if I could pick up where, where Brock opened up Roman.
No, Orton.
Or Randy Orton, yeah. Yeah.
Okay, since you watched that event, what did you think about AJ Styles versus John Cena?
Dude, you know what? I'm a Cena fan. I'm a Cena fan. I can't. I know I'm not gonna say nothing bad about AJ Styles, but I'm not a fan of AJ Styles.
Dude, you kidding me?
No, dude, I don't like AJ Styles. I don't like Kevin Owens either. While we're at it.
Well, they're both heels. You're not supposed to like them.
No, dude. I mean, even if I was sitting across the table from him having a beer.
Dude, they just dropped the Universal title on Kevin Owens. I just heard that through Twitter. I think that's great. And I'd like to see AJ Styles get that heavyweight title. Dude, you're talking about two guys that have traveled the world. They both got over 15 years under the belts. Those guys are veterans. They've been paying dues. Finally get a chance to come to the big stage, WWE. And Kevin Owens has been gold on the mic. He's had some damn good matches. He's doing great. And AJ Styles has lit up that locker room with the performances that he's been turning in the ring. And those matches that he has with John Cena are instant classics. You don't have to like him, but I asked you about the match. If you didn't think that match was a hellacious match, something's different.
Oh no, dude! I think it was a very good match. And you know what? I overlooked the fact that AJ Styles has so much time in the business. I didn't realize, that he's a 15-year veteran. And in retrospect, yeah, you know what? You can't be jerking the curtain for your entire career. Sooner or later, man. Once again, I like Cena on the mic. I think he is more captivating to me on the mic than AJ Styles. And dude, I just, Ted, why don't you like tomatoes, man? I don't know. I just don't. Why don't you like AJ Styles? I just don't.
Yeah. Well, he's a heel. You're not supposed to like him. But just for me, with the eyes that I have, and I think he's a hellacious performer. And I like him in heel mode because, he's got the creative freedom to be aggressive. And here's the thing that I like about his work. Dude, he's laying his shit in. He's vicious. He sets a tone for the locker room. And that's that's premier in my standpoint. As far as, you know, Brock, you know, opening up Orton, boy, that was a rough piece of business, but it's a piece of business that was done.
Right.
I liked the way it was executed, and I enjoyed the shit out of it. But, God damn it, Teddy, let's shift gears.
Hold on, dude. You know, I think the people at WWE are doing a top-notch job. I mean, if they're trying to make AJ Styles, a heel and make everybody hate him, they've done their work, because I can't, you know, I can't put my finger on. He hasn't done anything specifically, you know, but their push to make him the bad guy has succeeded. Do I turn the TV off when his match is on? Shit, no. I sit there glued to it and watch it and go, that son of a bitch, you know, the whole time. And that's exactly what those WWE people are trying, or WWF, whatever, you know, those guys are trying to evoke out of the audience, and shit, they're doing it. They're doing it. You know, you tip your hat to them.
Well, that's why I keep telling them, the guys are heels. You're supposed to hate them.
Yeah. Dude, I don't know why, but I do.
It's funny, yeah. See, because Ted and I, when we talk at the ranch, we're talking, you know, and Ted knows all my lingo and my language. We're on the same page. But then when we're on the podcast, he turns into the wrestling fan, Ted Fowler, and doesn't like, hey, AJ Styles or Kevin. Well, because they're heels. You're not supposed to like them. But goddamn, both guys, you know, Kevin Owens is specifically good on the mic. And he's very good in the ring. He has way more moves and stuff than I ever did. And AJ, man, his mic work keeps coming around. His in-ring work is premier, and his timing is spectacular. And I just think the guy's badass. Teddy,
dude, I buy into it because AJ surrounds himself with some other guys, and it's like, dude, you can't fight one-on-one. You know, you've got to have, you know, them thick neck guys with you. And then you look at Kevin Owens, and it's like, dude, you're overweight, you're scruffy, you don't have the good physique. You know what I mean? WWE gives you they set the plate for you. I mean, they're spoon feeding me every reason to not like these guys, and I'm going in head first, and it's like, fuck, I don't know why, but I don't like them.
Well, they're rubbing the wrong way. That they're doing their job.
That's it, exactly.
Teddy, what else is going on in Rockport? You just left the ranch. It was raining like hell. Did you get any work done?
You know what? Got a protein delivery. They gave us 12 tons of protein and 8 tons of corn, so we're ready to, you know, fill the corn feeders when that happens. Outside of that, you know, really not much.
Hey, dude, did you see any coyotes, hogs, deer, bucks? I know that the deer are still in velvet. They're still growing their horns, but did you see any animals?
Dude, I didn't see anything other than deer. I saw... saw a bunch of young deer, man. We're going to have a phenomenal fawn crop, which means we're going to have to whack, you know, a pretty good number of deer to keep everything in check. Everything still had velvet on it, so it's you know, a soft horn. I couldn't judge anything yet. Only one area on the south end showed any damage from the hogs. You know, I'm sure they're still around. Quail population, ridiculous. Dove should be off the chart. Yeah, should be a good season.
Man, every time I go down there, Teddy, the hogs are tearing that place to shreds. What's up with those things? Because I'll get out there and, you know, be ready for them, so to speak, when my wife's not around, looking to take a few of them out. But all I'm seeing is hog sign and damage. I'll be damned if I see one on a hoof. Here's the thing about the ranch, Teddy, and you can vouch for this. Sometimes you can drive around out there, the whole perimeter fence or all through the inroads, and we have a great road system on that ranch, and you won't see one fucking animal, and you would swear to God that there's not one animal on that place. And then boom, things will change, and then all of a sudden, man, you're seeing bobcats, coyotes, hogs, javelina, deer, quail, dove, turkey. I mean, you see everything. But sometimes you go out there and you swear to God that they ain't a goddamn animal on that ranch, and it's fucked up. It's weird like that.
Dude, it's so hot right now that nothing is rolling around during the day. Everything is laid up under the brush. It's like when we fly the ranch, you know, it's still warm enough to where the animals are bedded down. So, you know, we really don't see all of the number of animals because it is so warm.
That ranch is 2,100 acres. So of the, say, what would you say is high fence?
1,750? Yeah.
So give or take 1,700 acres is high fenced. What percentage would you say is brush, and what percentage would you say is usable and that we maintain, or that usable, or we also maintain it, or we may not maintain it, but we use it?
God damn, I bet 70% of that, of the 1,700 acres, has never been driven on.
As,
you know,
it's brush.
Yeah, it's brush. It's
we're
brush.
Exactly, I mean, on the same page. So
yeah. So I mean, what's 30% of 1,700 acres? You know, 340. You know, well, 10% would be 1,770. What's 170 times 3? 510.
Did you just multiply it that fast in your head?
Dude, I'm like, you know, throw some toothpicks down on the ground, man. Wapner's on it. Wapner's on it three. Wapner's on it three.
Dude, what's that goddamn movie with Ben Affleck and Matt Damon?
Oh, when they're gambling or whatever?
No, not that one. When the dude, he's a janitor at the school.
Oh, it's Good Will Hunting.
Yeah, Good Will Hunting. What are you, damn Will Hunting or something with this math skill?
Fuck no, dude, or we'd be in Vegas.
But anyway, my point is, I mean, like when you're riding around out there, because I say we're mowing all the time, but most of that place is brush, and you can access because you can walk through it. But I'll tell you what, when you walk through the South Texas brush country, everything that grows out there has a thorn on it, and it will stick you, cut you, or hurt you. And if you got a track of deer or something like that, if you don't have your Carhartt jacket on, you're fucked. And my stupid ass, who most time hunts, you know, with tennis shoes on and a pair of shorts, by the time, Teddy, what do my legs look like after deer season?
Oh, Jesus, dude. I mean, ashy because you're all white, and then you're all scarred up and scabbed up from the thorns. Yeah.
I had to let you give that description because if I said it, people wouldn't believe it. And the whole thing is like, Teddy, I need you to help me drag a deer out. Man, we'll go in there, and man, by the time I come out and go back to the house, man, I'm bleeding all my shins, my calves, and my wife says, why don't you put a pair of pants on? I just like wearing shorts.
Dude, I dress like the Michelin man. I'm covered from head to toe, and you're out there in, you know, shorts, Reebok tennis shoes, you know, and a light jacket. And I was like, dude, are you kidding me? You're going in there looking for a deer, you know, dressed like that? It's like,
dude, I always kick myself in the ass, but, you know, fuck, that's just the way it is. Hey, Teddy, let's wrap up this podcast and ride off into the sunset. I've got a 7 a.m. call time, so... What gig are you working on? I know you was doing a big remodel job. You said you had a little bit of a light day because you're scheduling people. What project are you on?
You know what? I'm remodeling a house in the country club right now, in the Rockport Country Club. Got the electrician in there for a couple hours today. He's going to come in and do a bunch of his rough-in tomorrow. We've got all of the tile floor. Had to take up 2,300 feet of tile in this house. Had to chip all that up and scrape it up. You know, I'm hot and heavy in that, be in that for a couple, 2-3 weeks yet.
Well, all right, dude, I will see you in a couple of weeks. I'll talk to you before then. And then, we wrap here on September 20th. If everything goes as planned, we may be here a day or two later. I'm going to stay in L.A. for 7 to 10 days, wrap some shit up, do some things. And, dude, I'll be a few days late on dove season, but I'll be ready to rock and roll.
Cool.
All right, dude. Ted Fowler on Twitter, TedFowler361. Ted Fowler on Instagram, TedFowler361. You can catch the local icon and local treasure there.
That's me. Thanks, man.
All right, everybody, give me the go-home cue, so I'm going to wrap up this podcast and ride off in the sunset. But before I do, I want to say thank you very much for bearing with me. When I started this podcast last night, on Tuesday night, I was dead dog tired. It'd been a hell of a long damn afternoon out here, and I just kept waiting for that doctor, and then he got here and took up a lot of my time. He was a good doctor. I appreciate his efforts. We didn't get to drain my elbow, and so I'm still got a bum elbow, but that thing put me behind, and I try to do better than that on the podcast. Appreciate you guys bearing with me. I was going to give you guys a video to watch, and the video to watch is probably on the WWE Network.
It's going to be NXT TakeOver in Brooklyn. I believe myself and Wade Keller from PW Torch. I'm going to break down that pay-per-view for the Tuesday show. I know it was a few weeks old. I know a lot of you have heard Wade break down that show. I'd like to offer my thoughts on what I see when I watch the pay-per-view event. We obviously talked about the tag team match. It just, man, it might have been probably the best match on the show. I got to look at the rest of the matches. I saw the last 4 minutes of Asuka versus Bayley. That was very intense. It looked really, really good. So we'll get some 411 on that. It's always fun talking to Wade. And the thing about talking with him, he always watches the product day in, day out for I don't know how many years. That's what that guy does, and he does it at a very high level. So if I get stuck, he'll carry me. But when I watch an event, I can judge that event, make my observations, and it will be what it is. Hey, but before I leave this trailer and go back in the sun on the set and start yelling at people, let me get a couple of plugs out there. We're out here filming a Broken Skull Challenge. I got a bunch of Broken Skull Ranch t-shirts coming to the website pretty quick. BrokenSkullRanch.com. If you want to check out my gear, you can go there and order it there. Also at ProWrestlingTees.com. For Broken Skull IPA, that's the best beer in the United States of America from El Segundo Brewing Company. And we just went into Portland, Oregon, or the state of Oregon. And you can find it in California at Whole Foods and Total Wines. And if you don't, go to BrokenSkullRanch.com, and that will lead you to InsideTheCellar.com. Click on that. And if you can get it shipped to your state, they will ship it right to your doorstep. Everything Steve Austin, you can find at BrokenSkullRanch.com. And that includes the Steve Austin Broken Skull Knife from Cold Steel Knives. Everybody needs a pocket knife, and this is a damn good one. I appreciate you guys supporting the sponsor of the Steve Austin Podcast, because they're the ones that let me do this for you free twice a week. So big thanks to DDPYoga.com. Go to DDPYoga.com/Austin to get 20% off the DDP Yoga program and 3 months of full access to the DDP Yoga Now app. Big thanks to DraftKings. Go to DraftKings.com and use the promo code UNLEASHED to play for free with your first deposit. Big thanks to Loot Crate to win a free 3-month subscription to the new WWE Slam Crate. Just tweet, "I want the WWE Slam Crate," to Podcast One and to Loot Crate. 3 winners will be chosen at random from all entries received. And big thanks to TrueCar. And, of course, thanks to Amazon. They've been supporting the podcast since day one. If you use my Amazon links whenever you're doing any online shopping, Amazon will kick back a few bucks to the podcast. It won't cost you anything extra. There's no hidden fees or charges. You can buy whatever you plan on buying and help out the podcast in the process. You can find my Amazon links by going to podcast1.com, clicking the Killer Deals button in the top right corner of the page, and hitting the Steve Austin Show button. I've got Amazon links for USA, UK, and Canada. So once again, go to podcast1.com. Click the Killer Deals button in the top right corner, then click on the Steve Austin Show. All my sponsors are there. My Amazon links are there, too. And if you use those Amazon links, they kick back a couple of bucks, and it goes to the production cost of this show. If you bookmark it, you can find it in one step and make it a lot easier on yourself. Folks, on Twitter, I am Steve Austin BSR. On Instagram, I am Steve Austin BSR. Folks, keep listening. The 60-second AP News headlines are coming up next. Until then, my name is Steve Austin, and I will catch your ass down the road.
Download new episodes of Steve Austin Unleashed every Thursday at podcastone.com. That's podcastone.com.